It's a series called Untreated, and it examines the cost to all of us when mental health goes untreated. Of course, there are a lot of headlines involved when someone does something violent, but peeking beneath the headlines, really investigating it, is Kristen Jones from the iNews investigative team. She's on the line with us now from her desk at RMPBS. Thank you for joining us this morning, Kristen.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
This story is being picked up by lots of folks who are asking these questions about the mental health system. It seems to show up in lots of different ways, maybe with homelessness or with violent crimes. And they're sort of catching all the effects of it would be our jail system. Tell us about how jails are dealing with mental health. I guess there really isn't enough space or resources to manage it all.
Right. I mean, what we found is that Coloradans with mental illnesses are now more than five times as likely to be living behind bars than in a psychiatric bed. The number of psych beds has been shrinking since the 70s, but it continues to shrink at a pretty fast pace. Even in the last 5 years in Colorado, the number of inpatient psychiatric beds has gone down 20%. So the burden is really on the jails and the emergency rooms to deal with people in crisis.
Kristen Jones with the iNews team at Rocky Mountain PBS. Your report says mentally ill inmates, these are inmates with some kind of diagnosed mental illness, stay an average of five times longer than other inmates. So they're actually going to cost the system. Not only is that where they're ending up, but they're going to stay longer and cost the system even more.
They do. They stay longer often because they don't make good bail candidates. It's hard for them to get bail, or they can't control their behavior once they're behind bars. They might commit more assaults. And then they also, often need psychotropic medication, so that's another expense. Jailing mentally ill inmates is much more expensive than jailing an average inmate.
Let's look down at the state mental hospital in Pueblo. And an interesting relationship between the state mental hospital, which is reducing its capacity, fewer and fewer beds, and then the Pueblo County Jail, which is right there. What's that relationship like?
It's fraught. It's not just Pueblo. A lot of jailers I spoke with around the state complain that when an inmate needs emergency psychiatric treatment, they have trouble finding a bed for them. Unless they have private insurance, the state psychiatric hospitals are the only place for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the state hospitals are saying, this isn't basically, we don't have space for all these people. You need to go to the emergency room. And then in Pueblo in particular, they complain that when a patient at the state psychiatric hospital, say, assaults a staff member or another patient, they're then bumped to the jail. And the jails feel like they're the only place that can't say no.
That's interesting. I'm not sure that we've heard much from jailers, from county sheriffs, and what they have to go through because they can't say no. Interesting. Were you shocked or surprised? Or I think every time you just keep turning the pages and keep asking questions, and the story just gets more and more unbelievable almost.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised at how many inmates with mental illnesses are put into solitary confinement. Colorado has gotten a lot of national attention for moving away from confining mentally ill inmates in the state prisons. And saying that the legislature recently passed a ban, and it's pending Governor Hickam-Looper's signature, saying that you can't do this anymore. You can't put people who are mentally ill into solitary confinement because it's seen as sort of counterproductive, because people are eventually released, and if they've deteriorated while in solitary, it's bad for everybody.
Well, and they think that might have been part of the issue with the recently released inmate who killed the director of corrections.
Yeah, I think that really sort of kick-started that conversation. The fact that he had been in solitary confinement and was released directly into the community.
A couple of the solutions that the mental health community and jailers are coming up with. One is this thing called moral recognition therapy. Is that working? Does that help inmates deal with some of their mental health issues?
Well, that's one of the many jail-based therapies that different jailers are trying around the state. That's something that has been set up in Pueblo, and it's a type of cognitive behavioral therapy that is meant to help people while they're in jail to sort of try to figure out their behaviors and you know, hopefully when they when they're out of jail to make better decisions and to, you know, to continue getting therapy and that kind of thing.
In Boulder, they're remodeling.
They are, yeah. And that's another one of these expenses of housing mentally ill inmates, is that they sort of want to keep keep the inmates with mental illnesses separate and keep them in sort of smaller groups in order to you know, supervise them better and to hopefully get them some therapy. But that's expensive.
Yeah. Kristen Jones was behind the report called Untreated, How Mental Health Costs All of Us in Colorado. A couple more approaches to try and deal with this. What are the mental health courts like? What are those about?
So these are, they're also called wellness courts. They're meant to divert people into treatment before they even get to jail. And they've had some success. There are other programs like the one in Denver. The Denver jail is trying to help enroll inmates in health insurance so they can get help for their mental illnesses once they leave the jail. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest challenges in all these programs is, you know, getting treatment for people before they even get to the point of committing a crime that will land them in jail. I mean, sometimes jail is the first time they're getting treatment. And so it's a challenge that in some ways goes far beyond the jail to, you know, how do we as a society treat mental illness and promote mental health earlier before it reaches a crisis.